If you have your Bibles this evening, please turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and continue on with this thought of, if thou shalt say in thine heart, in our hearts, the secret where no man knows, the heart that we can pretend to be any, where on the outside we can pretend to be anybody that we want and pretend to be a good Christian and pretend to be an individual that God is honored with, but in our hearts is what matters. It's a heart that God sees, and it's a heart that God looks at, and it's out of the heart flows the issues of life, and it's out of the heart the mouth speaketh, and it's out of the heart that we do the things that we do and how we serve. As we come to Deuteronomy chapter number 7, we find that Israel is about ready to go into the promised land, and Moses, through the inspiration of God, is telling the people of Israel to consider your heart. Don't be like your fathers, and to do and to follow through with God's plan for the nation of Israel. We looked at verse number 17, and it says, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh. We saw this morning how that fear often causes us not to do what God wants us to do. Fear keeps us from seeing a victory in our lives and the blessings of God in our lives. But I want to continue on with this thought, say not in thine heart, in chapter number 8 and verse number 17. As Moses continues to encourage and encourages the people of Israel and instructs the people of Israel about being faithful to God, he makes this statement in verse number 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Well, let's go back and see what he's talking about, and we look at verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the wilderness, or who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, which fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And then he says, verse 17, and say not in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this church and the faithfulness of your people in giving and sacrificing to mission, so that I, as a missionary and other missionaries like me, are able to do the work that you've called us to do. And Father, help us this evening consider our own lives and our relationship with you, the heart, the place where no man knows but you and each individual. And Father, help us to examine our lives this evening as we look at your instruction to the children of Israel. Help us to consider our relationship as well with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We find here another area in which we are instructed to consider and to think about our heart, and that is Say not in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. There are many times that we are tempted, and sometimes we forget of our successes in life. We go through difficulties, we go through problems, and God allows us to have the victory over that those problems, and He provides for us and over and abundant. And sometimes when we are succeeding in life, we forget that God is the one that brought us out and put us in the position that we're in today. And many times, as I, as a missionary, and as ministry goes well, and churches are planted, and people are saved and baptized, and we're able to do some things, I have to be very careful that, oh, my ministry, look what I'm doing. Instead of reflecting on me, I need to reflect on God. Look what He has done. And truly, the things that you saw in the video and is God working and using His Word as and fulfilling the promise of His Word. And we're seeing souls saved and lives changed. I remember, it is interesting because in our literacy programs, in our churches, when there are times that individuals learn how to read and write, and then they become gainfully employed, and God seems to bless them. And then I remember an individual, Matthew. Matthew, God just blessed his life. I led him to the Lord, baptized him. Verta taught him how to read and write, and he got a job. And then that he was able to be able to accumulate some funds, and he bought a vehicle and started running a PMV. A PMV is a public motor vehicle, which is like a bus or transport for individuals. And that business began to blossom, and he had companies calling him saying, hey, would you carry my cargo, and will you do this for me? And things were just doing great. He was attending church, he was faithfully giving, and then I noticed something. Wednesday nights, he wasn't there like before. And then it was Sunday evenings, he wasn't there. And then he'd show up sporadically once a month. I'd go talk to him. He said, yeah, everything's great, man. Business is going well. And I said, you're making some decisions that God is not going to honor. Long story short, a year and a half later, he came to church again, not in a car, but walking. Not in clean clothes, but clothes that had holes and ragged. We sat down and we talked. And this is what he said. I realized my wealth came from God, but I did not honor God with what He had given me. I was selfish, and I was bragging about my ability and what I was doing, and I was with the wrong crowd, and I got drunk. I drove my vehicle and with passengers aboard, and I ran off the road. Several of those individuals were killed, and he was in a court situation, and his life had been threatened. He comes to me, everything that I had, I failed to realize that it was God. And I did not give God the glory. And I did not recognize God as the provider of what I had. And I took him for granted, and I left him, thinking I was successful. And now I come to God, not asking Him to give me wealth. I'm asking God to forgive me. I want you to understand, sometimes in our Christian life, God blesses and God gives us things, but we need to be remindful, as Moses is reminding the children of Israel, God is going to give you some things, and you're going to have some nice houses, and you're going to have some wonderful gardens, and God is going to provide everything for you. Don't say in your heart, I've done this. In our Christian lives, as a church, let's rejoice in what God is doing. And when something good is happening and missionaries are being supported and money is coming in and we're able to build and expand and things are happening and souls are being saved, it is not what we are doing, it is what God is doing. I remind our students, it's a silly illustration, but I think it points out the point that I want to make. And that is, our people are agriculturalists. They are subsistence farmers. They grow their sweet potatoes, they grow corn, they grow different things that provide for their family. And I give an illustration, and this illustration is, You're here, you're in their house and you're eating, and it would be silly for your children. Well, how would you respond if your child, I'm thinking in pigeon, please forgive me if I'm stuttering along. How would your child, how would you feel if your child brought a spade and brought a shovel to you and brought that shovel and said, man, everybody, let's give thanks to this shovel. And let's just thank the shovel for all the food that we have been able to, that has been provided for us. As a parent, how would you feel? You'd say, no way. It was my hand. It was my sweat. It was my blood. It was my my muscles. And it was me going out in the garden. And I want to remind you, we're a spade in the hand of God. Let's not take credit for what God is doing through you. And that is what Israel, Moses is trying to teach Israel. God through Moses is teaching Israel, don't say in your heart, man, we would never say something like that vocally, but what's in our heart? Pride comes about. Man, look what I've done. Man, why is the pastor asking for this money? And why are we to give to the missionaries? And why we wouldn't say or we wouldn't vocalize it, but what we are saying is, I've gotten this money. It's my money, and the church has no right to it. But what we should be saying, God, thank you for providing it. How can I, what do you want me to do with this money that you have given? What do you want me to do with the abilities that you have allowed me to have? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to use it in ministry to glorify you? God has given us the abilities, the wherewithal to do the things that we are able to enjoy doing. And let's not come to a point in our lives where we say, man, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. For when we begin to raise ourselves up, pride is in our hearts. And God says that these six things does I hate. Seven are an abomination. And one of those is pride. I want you to understand that it is important that we guard our heart. Before that, Israel went into the promised land, these are instructions, these are encouragements to them. Watch your heart. Don't say in your heart. Let's go on down. Being self-reliant. Don't do it. Go on down, chapter number 9. Here's another verse. Verse number 4. Speak not thou in thine heart. After that, the Lord thy God hath cast them out before thee, saying, for my righteousness, the Lord hath brought me into this possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for their uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Another encouragement, another area, warning to watch our hearts. This area of not of self-righteousness, thinking that we're better than somebody else. And we compare ourselves with other people and say, well, I'm not as bad as that person, or I'm better than that person. Doesn't that person know better? A self-righteous person, an attitude that we need to guard against, an attitude that we need to shun, an attitude that we need to not allow to surface and to be demonstrated in our lives. God wants us to be gracious. God wants us to show love. God wants us to pray for one another. But He never wants us to shun and make ourselves look better than somebody else. We find that Israel, Moses is instructing, speak not thou in thine heart. After the Lord thy God hath cast him out before thee, saying, for my righteousness, the Lord hath brought me into this possessed land. I'm somebody special. I'm better than anybody else. I'm better than, we are better than any other country. And God has given us this land because of our righteousness. And God says, no. In fact, God used Israel as an instrument to punish these other nations because these nations were filled with idolatry, and these nations were sacrificing their children to gods, and these nations were were involved in sorcery and involved in witchcraft and was involved in ungodly practices. And God says, I've had enough. I've been long-suffering with you, and now it's time for me to judge you. And God judged these people by using Israel. Not because Israel was a good people and a righteous people. And God was saying, it's not because your righteousness and it's not because your goodness that I'm giving you this land. And sometimes we need to watch our own hearts. We don't say it, but maybe we think it. Man, if I could preach, if I had the opportunity, man, I'd be preaching this, or I'd be doing this, or man, I would do much better if I had that position, or I would. Be careful. Watch out. Sometimes we look down. I think of two men went to the house of prayer, and how that Jesus describes them. Two men went to pray. One was praying and says, Lord, man, I'm glad I'm not like this other guy. I fast and I tithe and I do this and I give alms and I look at what I'm doing. What happens to the other one? Smelts his breath, says, Lord, who am I? Man, be merciful to me. The attitude of the heart. The attitude of the heart. Just because God's blessing really doesn't mean that we are in right relationship with God, we need to be careful of what God, of how we live our lives. Man, self-righteousness. I want you to go on and take a look. Verse number 5 again, it says, not for thy righteousness or for thy uprightness of thine heart dost thou go and possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God does drive them out. And look at the response, the God's view of these people of Israel. He says, thou art a stiff-necked people, but I'm using you. Man, that's grace. Avoid this area in our hearts, a self-righteousness attitude. I'm better than somebody else. We're all level at the cross. It's through the cross of Christ. We're all sinners, but because of God's grace that He bestowed upon us, and through our faith and trust in Him and Him alone, are we made right with God. Nothing that we have done, nothing that we can obtain within ourselves, it is of God and God alone, and it is Him that makes us righteous, and there's nothing within ourselves that makes us right with God. Another attitude I want to take a look at quickly, and that is chapter number 15, a book of Deuteronomy. An attitude, another attitude that we need to look after and consider and don't let it be a part of our lives, and that is the attitude of selfishness. Chapter 15, in verse number 7 through 14, we're not going to read it all, but I want to start in verse number 7. If there be among you a poor man, one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from the poor brethren. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the 7 year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy brother, and thou givest him not. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall be not grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. And then he says, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, and to the poor, and to the needy in thy land. In the Old Testament, It was a law, it was something that the wealthy and those who had possessions would lend, give a loan. But on the seventh year, they were to release or forgive that loan to that individual. And so what the children of Israel would do is when that seventh year was coming close to, they would say, oh, sorry, I'm not going to lend you any money. I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to help you. But I'm in need. I need help. I need money. I need to buy seed to plant and to have a crop so I can feed my family. And they say, sorry, no. But in their heart, it was they didn't want to forgive. They wanted all the money and all the benefits of that loan. But the requirement of the law was say, when that seventh year came, you're to forgive that debt. And so the children of Israel would be closed-fisted. They would not open their hearts. They would not open their hands. And they would allow, make those who are suffering suffer even more, even though they had the ability to help. The thought this evening in this and to us, it's God has given us the things that we have and we should be willing to give to help get the gospel to those who have never heard, and we should be able to help this ministry so we can reach out to this community to spread the word and to see the word of God change people's lives, and we should never be closed-fisted. Because we've already been taught everything that comes into our hand comes from God. We should fight against this area of selfishness in our hearts and have an attitude and a willingness to give. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God wants us to be people who give, and you have given to help meet our needs, and you have given sacrificially, and you have helped this ministry to go beyond what I would have ever imagined when I first came. But sometimes we come to a point where, man, I've given enough. I've helped enough. And we get a little lackadaisical, or we get a little, well, selfish, and we don't do what, and we become closed-fisted. And we find throughout the Scripture that a man who has an open hand is a man that God blesses. Open-handed, God has been open-handed to us. He has met our needs. And as a result, we need to help meet the need of those around us. Last thing, Deuteronomy chapter 29. Another instruction about our heart. Another thought that we need to consider. For out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the heart are the issues of life. And we need to guard our hearts. Verse 29, chapter 29 and verse number 18. Lest there should be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it shall come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Don't say in your heart. It is a warning of, I can sin, and God doesn't care about it. I can have attitudes of the heart that nobody knows about. And I can go to the dark rooms of my house and do things that are ungodly and unrighteous. And who's to know? And they're saying, God doesn't care. God's not concerned about this. What's a little drink? What's a little smoke? I don't understand. And God says, there's an issue with the heart here. It's an attitude towards sin. I can sin and God will not judge me. As you read the text here, and he says, don't say in your heart that God is somewhat oblivious to what we're doing. God knows exactly what each one of you are doing. He knows the intent of my heart and the actions that I do on a daily basis. There is nothing that is hid from God that God does not see. The room behind the closed door, the monitor that is on, and the pornography that goes through and comes to your eyes, God sees. Your wife may not see, and your mom and dad may not see it, but God, who will judge you, sees it. When you're out with your friends and away from your mom and dad and away from those who love you and care for you and are concerned for you, mom, dad doesn't know about this. They'll never find out. They're one who already knows, God. The temptation of separating from a husband or a wife and entering into a illicit relationship with somebody else, God knows the heart. Understand that in this society, in this day and age, Christians are living a life as though God doesn't care. And that living a life as though that God is unaware and we can do whatever we want to do and God's not going to be concerned about that. We have freedom, we have grace, we have the liberty to do this. But the liberty is not found and given to us from God. They say he will bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imaginations of my heart. A few years ago, I was talking to a young couple. And it was a young man who was saved, a young lady who was not saved. And talking about how that should not be unequally yoked together. And just giving some counsel, and he says, I don't care what you're saying. I have peace that this is what God wants me to do. Looking at the scripture, it was contrary to his conclusion. But he based his conclusion on peace. I have peace about it. The peace that God gives will not, never, never, ever contradict the Word of God. God will not give a true Christian peace to do wrong, to do something that is contrary to His Word. He will never give you peace. And if you do have peace, it is not because of God. It's because of our heart wants to do it. And we made a choice to do it. And we don't want to fight. Peace outside of God's Word is not peace that comes from God. And these people were saying, in my heart, I have peace. We're living in a wicked way, but who's to see it? Who's to care? Who's to know? Where is God? And God says, I see you. And I know what you're doing. And as a result, my judgment is coming. And so the instruction to Israel was, don't say in your heart. Don't say in your heart. That's all right to disobey God and do your own thing. And live your own way because you have peace. Peace is never the scale to determine what is right and what is wrong. God's Word is a scale for which we are to judge our motives and our actions. Don't say in your heart. We come to a point as the instruction was given to Israel. He says, guard your heart. Watch your heart. Guard your heart from self-reliance. Guard your heart from self-righteousness. Guard your heart from selfishness. And guard your heart from sin. Don't say in the heart. Jealousy. How can you tell a person is jealous? Can I see jealous? Can I see envy? Can I see bitterness? Those are issues of the heart that come out in many different ways. But you and God knows. What's in our heart? As we examine our hearts, as we examine what our relationship with God, you can't fool God. But what's in our heart? Because what's in our heart will be a part of our lives, our actions, our attitudes. It will come out. They are the issue of life. With their heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that some things that have been said this morning, this evening, that we as Christians would consider our heart, our relationship with you, what you want us to do or not do. Just as you instructed the children of Israel, these are very pertinent for us today. And please help us today consider our heart in our relationship with you.